The recorder is on the line and running. Let's start by getting your name and title here at the top of the tape, please.
My name is Sharon Travis, and I am the Outreach and Advocacy Specialist here at the Sexual Assault Center Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. As I mentioned in the email, I'm sure you probably saw the story about the local minister that's been accused of assaulting almost two dozen children over some 20 years. And so that, you know, that just got me to thinking about, you know, what kind of advice we might give parents with regard to protecting their children, even in, you know, circumstances where, you know, there should be a lot of trust, you know, at church or in daycare or, you know, preschool, whatever it might happen to be. So I was just hoping you might have some ideas for parents.
Well, yeah, first thing I want to kind of encourage is that parents educate themselves about what this looks like and what the signs and the warning signs might look like in these kinds of situations, because unfortunately, the tools that a sex offender will use are the same kind of tools that someone who is really good with kids would use. You know, they're engaging, they're outgoing, they are helpful, make themselves available, you know, and so it's kind of like they use that access and that trust that you build with these workers to take advantage. And so not everyone who has that heart is going to take advantage, but you got to know the difference. So I would say the first thing you want to do is understand the facts, understand the high prevalence of sexual assault, and understand that 90% of childhood sexual abusers know their victims. So it's not the sketchy person who is unknown to them. It's most likely going to be someone who you know, someone who you trust. It often is a family member. Sometimes it's older kids on younger kids. 40% of childhood sexual assault is with older kids on younger kids. So you want to be careful when you're mixing like tweenagers or teenagers with younger kids, that you're being hypervigilant during those times and setting appropriate boundaries. You want to make sure that your children are in places that are observable at all times. And so even if you can't hear what's going on, you can see what's going on. So like if there is someone counseling your children or working with your children, that there's maybe, say, a window in the door or something that you can interrupt at any time. Having kids in a space where you can't see what's going on, and like maybe, say, it's a karate class or something like that, just using that as an example, and they're in another room, being able to go into that other room or see into that other room to see what's going on, you know, not necessarily hear, but see. Also, understanding what the red zones are. So there are red spots or hot spots when it comes to sexual violence in children. And one of those spots would be on buses. Another one would be in bathrooms. Another one would time to be more hypervigilant is like during field trips and things like that. You know, any type of swimming pools, any type of environment where, one, they may be more exposed than they normally would be physically, and or where it's a different environment where access to kids is more easily, you know, can more readily happen. So those are some things you can do. The other thing we can do is talk about it. Have some conversations with our kids. Normalize the conversation. We're not normalizing the behavior, but we're normalizing the conversation so that if a child is feeling uncomfortable about something that's going on, that they feel like they have the words and know that they won't freak you out when they come to you with their conversation or with their thoughts or with their feelings. So just kind of creating some space where we're having these kind of conversations about inappropriate touching is being had. Anything else that you think you want to ask me? I'm just rattling on. I want to make sure I'm giving you space.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly what I was looking for. So if you have any more along those lines, I'd be happy to hear that. But also, you know, I'm curious, you know, how hard you think parents at this point should be perhaps pushing some of those institutions like a Sunday school or the karate class that you mentioned, you know, insisting, you know, for instance, that, you know, that they have rules with regard to, you know, how the children are interacted with. You know, do parents need to be looking for, you know, for things like that and insisting on that measures be taken?
Oh, absolutely. I think that as a parent, And protecting your children being one of your responsibilities, is that you lean on organizations and push organizations to put these things in place, particularly churches, particularly spaces where we think it should be safe, where offenders will come. What we know about this is that, one in four girls and one in six boys before the age of 18 will be sexually abused. And for boys, it is really before the age of 14 that most of the abuse happens. And so we understand the high prevalence of childhood sexual assault and why it's so important to make sure that we're asking the right questions. If you go to a daycare and you see that they're not set up to be observable, or if they have strange people in, you know, with the children who are not being background checked, who haven't had reference called, these are things that you might want to pay attention to. Hey, who is this person in here? You know, are they qualified, or have they been checked out? And so those are some of the ways that you can say insist that those things happen. If it's a church, make sure that these kids that who's working with the kids are being background checked, making sure that they're being trained on these things. There is a program that we have in Tennessee called Stewards of Children that we have access to. And there are a lot of organizations in the Middle Tennessee area who have committed to delivering this education. It's a two-hour training that talks about all the things that I just spoke about and more, about things we need to pay attention to, ways organizations can be more responsible, and how we can recognize the signs and symptoms when things happen, and also how to recognize an offender. We know that most people who have been sexually abused will only disclose once in their lifetime if they don't feel they're believed, if they don't feel like they're supported, and if they feel like it's their fault, it goes away. And often with their children, they believe it's their fault because that's what the offender has told them, right? So you better not tell because it's your fault. And you're going to be the one that gets in trouble, not me. And what we know about offenders is that they offend about 197 times before they're caught the first time. And so what we really want to do is make sure that we are the ones being more vigilant to recognize when these things are happening so that we can stop the offender the first time. And they're not multiple victims like it was in this story that goes on for 20 years without anybody saying anything. And that we know that as adults, if you receive a disclosure, you are a mandated reporter. You do not have the option of not telling. And should it come out that you knew and didn't tell, then there could be repercussions for you as well. So when it comes to receiving a disclosure from anyone under the age of 18, we must report. There are anonymous hotlines at DCS that you can call. And so it's important that we recognize who that resource is and make the call. And even if you're not sure, you just got the funny feeling, you call anyway and let the investigators figure out what's really going on. Usually where there's smoke, there's fire, so we don't want to get into the habit of ignoring our conscience when we see things that are happening that just don't feel right.
Yeah, all great.
Any other questions?
All great advice. Exactly what I was looking for, and I certainly appreciate you doing it. Maybe online resources. I'm guessing your organization has some online resources that you can recommend, and maybe other sites as well.
You can definitely go to our website, which is sacenter.org. You can also go to RAINN, R-A-I-N-N. It's the Rape and Incest Network, national network. So they have great resources on this, as well as the NSVRC, the National Center the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. So NSVRC, RAINN with two N's, and the Sexual Assault Center. Some of the CACs, the Child Advocacy Centers across the state, have great information. They're also great resources for this. So there's lots and lots and lots of information on the Internet about what I've talked about. And the Stewards of Children website is also, or Darkness to Light, is a great resource as well. And again, we offer that training, and as do some of the CACs across the state, that kind of just go through the things that I just listed, like understanding the facts, minimizing opportunities, creating space to talk about it and knowing how to talk about it with children, recognizing the signs and symptoms, and responding responsibly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. Certainly appreciate your work, and appreciate you taking time to do this for our listeners. And hope you have a great day.
Well, I want to say too, thank you for creating awareness on this, and it's just important that we continue to have this conversation. And last but not least, of all the things I've said, I do want to make sure I let you know we have a 24-hour crisis support line, so that if anything I said recently just triggered you, you can call 1-800-879-1999. Again, that's 1-800-879-1999. That's 24 hours a day, and there are professionals on there who can, wherever you are, talk you through whatever you're feeling and connect you with your local resources.
All right, Sharon. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too.